Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, people. Live from the Bronx, this is the Brovian Talks. Follow us on Twitter for news, information, opinions, stuff by following us on Twitter at Brovian93, at Brovian93. That is BROVIAN93, BROVIAN93 on Twitter. So busy show today. We have election days coming up, a debate tonight, Halloween coming up, a potential clinching game of the World Series, and of course a huge Sunday night game for football. But before we get into the topics, I want to lay out my schedule for shows coming up. Since tomorrow's Halloween, the show will focus on Halloween. We'll do a little bit of Halloween stuff today, but tomorrow's show will be majority Halloween stuff. We might do a little bit of election stuff, but on Tuesday is when we'll really get into the Hillary emails and what that will do to this race. And on Tuesday as well, I will review both debates between Lindsey Long and Chuck Schumer, and a third party debate between Alex Maced and Robert Levin Wilson. We'll get to that shortly, but first, I was thinking about this over the weekend, especially now since these emails have come out. And, you know, this popped up every so often. You hear on the news, you know, every election cycle, especially for president, and that is early voting. And, you know, I don't agree with early voting because, you know, it's not election day, and you're having votes cast while things can still come up in the campaign. You know, I for one favor Election Day being a national holiday. So a good portion of the population are off. They don't have to go to work. They might be free all day to go to the polls for, 10-20 minutes to go, you know, fill in the ballot. And they go, you know, watch the election night returns come in, or they can do whatever they want for the rest of the day. So I always favor Election Day being a national holiday because, A, you know, it destroys this early voting nonsense, which I think is the stupidest thing in the world. I mean, you know, if you want to vote early or can't vote on Election Day, just apply for an absentee ballot. And I'm not sure exactly what the absentee ballot rules are, but they, you know, if you can't make it to polls on Election Day, for whatever reason, health, business, you know, you can't go because, you know, you have to take care of kids, you have to go to work. And the excuse is valid, in my opinion, to get an absentee ballot. You just have to use it and mail it in on Election Day or before Election Day, whatever you want. But because early voting really can sway a result to one side or the other. Because how many people who voted already might have changed their minds based on what happened this weekend with emails? Or God forbid we get another Trump video come out, or a Trump scandal come out. You know? In other countries, many people have Election Day off. And it's called Election Day, not Election Days, not Election Weeks, Election Day. And we need longer poll, you know, and we need polls open longer, fine. Want polls open later or earlier? Let's do that. Because early voting, I believe, you know, sways election results. You know, people are voting in a campaign that could go either way. I mean, let's say that 2 weeks ago, anybody in the nation thought Hillary Clinton was going to be president of this country. Now, that no longer looks like a sure bet. Could still happen. But I would have bet money on it. I wouldn't guarantee it. And you know, this works for the Republicans too. But you know, and it's getting more and more popular too, this early voting thing. So I think, you know, the election may have been decided already. You know, this election might have been decided last week or now. You know, it's not just about, you know, the results or influencing the results. It almost takes a little bit of work from election day, I feel. You know? It takes a little bit of election day in a magical way. Now, I can be a nerd about election day because I love election day. Election day is one of my favorite days of the year, especially for the close election, which the outcome is unknown to everybody possible. But it takes a little bit of effect knowing that, you know, a good number of people but they cast their ballots in a close race might have already been determined. And it also minimizes the influence of an October surprise. What, no matter where in the month it is. So, you know, if you want to have early voting, then have a week of voting. Then have a week of voting, of, you know, 2 days. Two election days, Monday and Tuesday, for a couple of days, but just hold off the voting until the campaign ends. When you know, all the mudslinging, all the shouting is over, just hold back a little bit. You know? But, you know, have two election days. Make it a week. Make it a weekend. I'm open to different possibilities. Just don't have people vote while the campaign is still going on. Because, you know, because you're making the events that occur closer to election day a little bit less important. And maybe, you know what? Maybe the wrong person gets in. Now that Donald Trump, you know, has some, you know, major lawsuit or something that folks haven't uncovered yet. Think of Hillary Clinton. We don't know. You know, maybe people actually forced me to think. But it makes no sense to me early voting, especially voting during the campaign. I mean, just hold it off. You know, there are other solutions than voting during the campaign. That's my take on it. Topic two, I know it said on the description box, the debate. You know what? I'll do topic two, yeah. I'll do the Senate debate first because, you know, this is the worst possible night. It really is. This is the worst possible night to have a debate because you have a ton of things going on. You have Sunday Night Football, and the Sunday Night game tonight is a huge game. I believe it's Cowboys-Eagles, you know. You can't get any bigger than that, really, in the NFL, especially since both teams are good. My God, it's football gold. You have the clinching game, or possibly clinching game of the World Series. And see, it's Halloween Eve. My parents are getting costumes together, getting the candy stuff ready. They're getting ready for Halloween tomorrow, whether it's a party, trick-or-treating, costume making, or costume adjusting the candy. So, you know, this is the worst thing of a debate. And plus, it's a New York one. I don't even have New York one. I don't even get that channel. I never heard of it up until I was reading the article. I was like, what the hell is New York One? So, number one, I can't watch it. I'll probably watch it tomorrow if I can find it on the website. So this is a worst name for a debate. Locally, this race, let's face it, sorry people, we have a pretty good idea who's going to win this election. You know, I was talking to people, and nobody knew who in the world's running. You know, I was at a church today, and I was asking around, asking people, A, are they watching the debate tonight? And almost everybody to a T asked, what debate? And then I told them it was the New York Senate debate, New York U.S. Senate seat, Chuck Schumer, whatever. And they said, oh, yeah, who's running against him? I mean, in October 30th, the election day is less than 2 weeks away, and nobody knows who the candidates are besides Chuck Schumer, because everybody knows who Chuck Schumer is. He's over on TV. He's Mr. Media. I mean, you know. The man holds a press conference every Sunday. And yes, the other candidates are Republican Wendy Wong, Libertarian Alex Mossad, and Green Robin Levin Wilson. And to make matters worse than that, as I said in the previous show, two of the four candidates won't be there. You have Chuck Schumer tonight and Wendy Wong, Republican, and Alex Mossad and Robin Levin Wilson were uninvited. I mean, if you look at the polls, their names are not even mentioned on the polls. They're on a statewide ballot, and their names are not even mentioned on the polls. Some choices we have. Even Governor Cuomo debated the Libertarian and the Green Party. Now, mind you, Cuomo probably did it because, you know, he saw his poll and go, hey, you know what, this can't help me no matter what. But still. So the debate is obviously going to be, you know, it'll be an okay watch, I guess. I mean, Wendy Wong is a loyal Trump supporter. Schumer is a loyal Hillary supporter. I'm going to assume automatically that they will both be asking or talking about the nominee to president. I mean, let's face it, there's no way around it, no matter what race you're in. Trump and Hillary will be mentioned no matter what. And, you know, of course, they're going to talk about guns, maybe the refugees. But let's say that Chuck Schumer is a smart guy. He holds his own against the Republicans in Congress. He's been there forever. Wendy Long got humiliated 4 years ago when she took on Gillibrand. You know, and she had a pretty good debate performance 4 years ago. If you watch against Gillibrand, she actually did pretty well. So Wendy Long, you know, is no novice. And she's no scrub. I mean, she can debate. But the key is, number one, to win the debate, actually, you know, get the new talking. And B, put Schumer on the defensive, because he will definitely put her on the defensive, especially about Trump and possibly about the refugees. So we know, you know, Wendy Wong has to play offense, and she must do the debate or have a good enough performance to, you know, actually get some media attention. Because here in New York City, I've watched the nightly news or the evening news, whatever it's called, the news at 5 and 11, almost on a daily basis. And I have yet to see really anything about the Senate race. So she just can't be good. She just can't get a win. She has to get attention. The only way to do that is to really score a knockout blow, which I really doubt will happen. But it could, you know. She's a bright person. So we'll see. So it'll be an interesting watch. If anything, you will know by the end of the night that there's a huge contrast between both candidates. in it are not much alike. You know, Winnie Long is a conservative. She's a proud conservative. Chuck Schumer is a proud liberal. And, you know, there's very few things based on what I read on the two, on both websites that will tell me that they have anything in common. So we'll definitely see a contrast between a conservative ideology and a liberal ideology. So, you know, if you're into that, it'll be a fun watch. I should mention that there is another debate, too, that the Pantsuit Politics, which I believe is a podcast, is hosting a debate between Robert Levin Wilson, the Green Party candidate, and Alex Merced, the Libertarian Party candidate. And I'll try to post, you know, if you can find the link, I'll try to post the link on, you know, a website on the description box on the next episode. So I'll try to find that debate. And you know what? I don't know what to expect, you know. These are two candidates who are legitimate. They're both legitimate candidates. And remember, like in 1970, a third party did win a statewide office. So it can't happen. And I'll be interested to see, you know, or to contrast both debates. You know, because you have a debate between the two major parties and a debate between the two third party, Green Libertarian. And it'll be interesting to see how they're similar to each other and how they're different. And which of the two debates will actually talk about issues more than character and, you know, spaghetti throwing. So that'll be an interesting debate to watch. And I will try my hardest to find it for free, because I'm not paying for anything. But I'll try to find it for free and see what happens. So, yeah, that's that debate. And, you know, there really should be a debate between four candidates. I know I said this about on an earlier show, but come on. I mean, it's an insult to all the people who worked hard to put these guys and women on ballot, you know. The Libertarian Party doesn't have automatic ballot access in New York. They actually had to get canvassers to collect signatures. To, you know, get them on the ballot. So sometimes people forget. All the time people forget. Voting for a third party is not a wasted vote. I mean, if you look at, you know, in a presidential level, if you get 5% of the popular vote nationwide, they get some funding to those parties. They could use that money to build on something. To become a real force in politics. So never, ever let anybody tell you voting Green, Libertarian, Constitution, Reform, any other good parties, never let anybody tell you to waste that vote, because if anything, it's a stronger vote than the major two parties. Especially if you live in a blue state or a red state. And these third-party candidates really work hard with limited resources they have to get the message out. And a lot of times, they actually talk about issues. Whether you agree with them or not, they actually talk about substance rather than character or mudslinging. So there'll be two good debates. And I will post the link to both debates on the description box of the November 1st or 2nd episode. Tomorrow is mostly Halloween. If I could find it, if I do watch the debate, I'll post it in that description box as well. But I doubt it. World Series. I mean, my God. If you would have told me last week the Indians would be up in this series 3-1, and have a chance to win it at Wrigley Field, I would have said you were out of your mind. I thought the only way for Cleveland to win this World Series was in 7 games. I didn't think that Cleveland could win it in 6 or 5. but it could happen tonight. Now, I must tell you, I do believe that the Cubs are going to win today because John Lester is too good. Look, the Indians really go base doing happy because they're going to win. Because they got to Lester in game one in the first inning in which he was just rattled. But I think he's a red pitcher. He's been here before. He's pitched in the World Series multiple times. So he's not new to the rodeo. He's been here a while. And you know what? Who's the best pitcher in baseball this season? Now, the Cubs obviously have to hit. I mean, their offense has been completely lackluster this series. In fact, it's been completely lackluster the entire postseason. You know, watching the championship series, games 4, 5, and 6, I really thought their offense woke up. Because they scored over 20 runs in 3 games against quality pitching. In this World Series, they haven't done that. And this really looks like the Mets all over again. You know, we saw this team against the Mets a year ago, and their offense didn't hit against the Mets, and their offense didn't hit against the Indians. And give Francona a lot of credit so far, because without him managing the way he does, using that bullpen as he does, this series might be completely different. You know, I said before the series started, one of the few advantages Cleveland has over the Cubs is the manager. And so far, in this postseason and this series, he's shown once again why he's the best postseason manager in baseball today. Now, Game 3, I mean, with a massive performance of using that bullpen. Tomlin goes 4 2/3. He senses danger, goes to the bullpen. Bam. And how good has his bullpen been? Has his bullpen given a single run in this World Series? I don't think so. I don't think this bullpen has given up a single run in this World Series so far. This bullpen has been completely wiped out. My God. Can you imagine if the Mets had this bullpen? Damn, you know, we would be in the World Series right now. But this bullpen for Cleveland completely wipes out. And you know what? They're unfazed. I mean, you know, you had bases loaded with nobody out in game one. No runs given up. Game 3, bottom 9, 2 outs, 2nd and 3rd. First World Series game at Wrigley Field since 1945. Still in phase. I mean, man, and Cleveland doesn't score a lot of runs. They don't. And if they end up hit home runs, you know, they got 6 runs in game 1, 7 runs last night. I mean, I thought the game two, Cleveland, if they want to win, has to score runs. And wow, they're scoring runs. And when they don't score runs, this pitching, especially this bullpen, is lights out. I mean, you know, if this World Series tells you anything, it tells you this, that bullpen wins you championships. You need a decent outing and a strong bullpen, and you're good to go. And especially yesterday, where has this Cub defense gone? I spent an entire month bragging about how good this Cub defense is. Game 4, the defense sold it. I mean, in the second inning or third inning, whatever it was, you're the third baseman. Overthrow of first, should have kept the ball, had the bases loaded. That cost them a run. I mean, a 2-1 game. I mean, plays like that in the outfield, I mean, my God. I praise this defense. I call this an all-time great defense. And my God, game four, they were atrocious. Now, with all that said, the Cubs are not done yet. You got Lester and Arrieta pitching games 5 and 6. In game 7, they have only on deck. And Lester's been here before. Arrieta pitched a great game, too. And this Cubs bullpen is pretty darn good, too. It's not just as good as the Indian bullpen. So whoever scores first today, whoever has the lead after 5 is going to win. Because I can't see either bullpen giving up the lead. I can't see it. That's the key to today's game. Have the lead up to the 5th and you're good to go. After 5, if you're winning, you're winning the game. And if you're the Cubs, you better hope it's you because that Indian bullpen won't give you anything, and that Cub bullpen won't give you anything either. Now, Halloween. Of course, Halloween officially, at least for me, Halloween kicks off the holiday season. Because you have Halloween, you have Election Day, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. So Halloween is beginning, at least for me, the holiday season. And you know, over the past couple of years now, I've noticed that Halloween, at least in my neighborhood, isn't as big a deal as it used to be. And because I was walking around the neighborhood and on areas I was looking at street when I was little. And, you know, maybe it's because I got older, but I see less and less houses decorated for Halloween. You know, going all out with the inflatable balloons, the lights, you know, the nice stuff on the porch or the grass on front of the house. You know, it seems like every year the number of houses that really go all out gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And some of these stores, the Halloween section, also get smaller. You know, it's hard to find a costume now. It's hard to find good decorations. You know, I was at Walgreens this weekend, and they had like one little section, like one wall of Halloween stuff, and that was it. Now, have you at Walgreens, even in Party City, you know, is not that big of a selection. The candy isn't as diverse as it used to be. It's fine for me because I'm 23 years old. I mean, for a little kid, it's a little bit heartbreaking, a little bit, you know, looking at, you know, thinking about little kids, you know, not getting as much candy as they used to, maybe not getting the full experience that I once had, or maybe even older me once had. So I don't know, you know, maybe it's just me, maybe it's age, you know, but at least TCM and AMC are still playing those good movies. Friday night you had TCM play the Universal horror films, so Dracula, Wolfman, The Mummy, Invisible Man. So, you know, the movies, the TV station is still doing a good job. And tonight you have Frankenstein and Young Frankenstein, the two Halloween classic comedies. I'm at 8 o'clock today. I'll be watching it, and hopefully you will be too.